Begin the current daven says Ksubis Daf Tezvav. Begin on the bottom of Daf Yudalma base, five lines up from the bottom of the Yamud, where the Gemara begins to explain the Mishnah of the previous Daf. That is, the Mishnah spoke about a case which was continuing the theme of the previous Mishnayos about when it's not clear about who this woman had beer with. If it was a kosher, which then she's still kosher lakuna. If it was to a apostle, which makes her then apostle lakuna. So the case that the Mishnah spoke about, Rabbi Yossi said, was where a woman had gone to draw water from the spring, and she was violated by a man. Now Rabbi Yechman Nuri said that if the majority of the people of the city are kasher and lekuhuna, I mean they're not psulin, they're not mamzer or nosin or all these other types of psulin, then based on the laws of Rav, of majority, we say that the one who she had beer with, the one who had violated her was a kosher, and therefore then she would be kosher to marry into kuhuna. Now that's how Gemara begins asking on this Mishnah based on information we know from the previous series of Mishnahs. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman. He said, Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri de Amar. According to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, that he says in this Mishnah that you need to have a majority of the people to be kosher, to then say based on the laws of majority that then the one who had violated her was a kosher, and that's why she's kosher lakuna. Come on. According to which opinion is he going like? As the Gemara explains, we have in the previous Mishnah is a machlekes that was between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Now, Iker Rabbi Gamliel, if he's going like Rabbi Gamliel, and Afilu B'Rei Psulin Nami Machsher, then he would even hold that even if the majority of the people in the city are Psulin, still he would say it's kosher, because Rabbi Gamliel's opinion, as we had established in the previous Tafim, he holds that you retain the woman's chazaka. A woman is presumptive to be kosher for kohuna, as any Jewish woman is. It's only when something happens to invalidate her. Now, there's a suffix. So, though there's a rive, but we retain the chazaka to say that she is going to be still kosher lekahuna, and therefore, we could assume that it's someone that's kosher. So, why does he say that it has to be that the rive of the city are ksher? And Nik, Rabbi Yeshua, and if you're going like Rabbi Yeshua, then the Philip Rive ksher nami apostle, Rabbi Yeshua says that even if the majority of the people of the city are kosher, still he holds that it's going to be apostle. So then, therefore, how do we understand Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri? He says that you need to have most of the people to be kosher. Why is that? If you hold that you'd be mamet al chazkasa, then even if Rebbe Pasla should be kosher. And if you hold like Rabbi Yeshua that we don't because of certain elevated statuses we make for Yuchsin that we are concerned, so then, and since it's chad safik, it's one area of doubt regarding marrying a tikkun, then we should say that it's going to be not able to marry a tikkun, even if Rebbe ksher. So Amalei, Rav Nachman answered to Rav, he says, Hachi Amar Rav Yehuda, this is what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, and that the truth is that Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri is going like Rabbi Yeshua. Now, if he's going like Rabbi Yeshua, then why does it help if Rav Akshayim, Rabbi Yeshua says the woman's going to be Pasla Gehuni, even Rav Akshayim? The answer is the Gemara is going to explain that we're talking about that is what's called in Halacha, Trei Rubi. There's not just one majority telling us that he's Kasher, it's actually two different elements, that both elements, the majority of them are going to be Kasher. As the Gemara will explain the name of Yehuda. Now, ultimately, the Gemara is going to explain what would be the logic in differentiating between one majority or two majorities. But the Gemara explains, as we continue on top of Tezvam and Alf, the case is talking about Bekroinis Shalsi Poiri HaYamaisa. This incident that we've mentioned in our Mishnah was actually told about that there were the wagons of Tzipori. In other words, it was the day of the marketplace when there was wagons and caravans coming from other places to Tzipori, where this is where the woman was violated when she went to go ahead and draw the water from the spring. Now, Ukud Rabami, and it's like Rabami had said that because now that you have the majority of the inhabitants of the city, who the majority of them are kashem, additionally, we also have the majority of the people that are traveling because now there are travelers coming because it's a market, the market day. Now, the Amar Rabami, the Rabami said, that what we're told about is that the travelers are also, the majority of them are also people that are kosher for kahuna. Now, and therefore, since you have not just the majority of the inhabitants, yes, just one roi would not be enough according to Rabbi Yeshua. He would still say that should be possible to kuna. But you have another element, another variable over here, which are the travelers, and the majority of them are also kosher lekuna. So together with the two of them, what's called Trei Rubi, two majorities that are kosher, so then even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that we could assume that it was a kosher, and therefore it should be kosher lekuna. As the Gemara says, like Rihanna had said, Rihanna said the following halacha. He said, "Niv elis b'kroinus," that if the woman had bia on the wagons, which sounds like literally on the wagon, that then she's kosher lekuhuna. Which the Gemara asks, "B'kroinus hakataitach?" What does that mean? Because she had bia on the wagon, that means she's kosher for kahuna. Ella, rather, like we just explained, it's nivellus bishas krainus. It means to say that if she had the bia, let's say she was violent at the time of when there was the caravans, when there were travelers coming through the city, then is what he meant to say, kshele kahuna, then she's going to be kosher for kahuna, as we explained. Because not only are the majority of inhabitants of the city kshele kahuna, but the majority of the travelers of the caravans are also the majority of them are kshele kahuna, where you could say it was one of them too. And because of that, there's trei rubi, even Rabbi Yeshua would agree, which is the halacha of Mishnah, b'rech minuri, that the woman would be kshele linas kahuna. Now, however, aval pirish echad mitzipor yabal, but if let's say, if one of the inhabitants of the city, which was from Tzipori, would go out and have bia with the woman, we know definitely it was someone from this city. Now, and that's in spite of the fact that Tzipori is a city where the majority of the people are mesin l'kahuna, are not psulin, still havlat shtuki. It sounds like that then the child is going to be a shtuki. And the reason is because then you only have one ruby. You only have one majority, the majority of the inhabitants of the city. We know it wasn't any travelers. And as we said, that Rabbi Shua holds up by one rive, the woman and her fetus will not be kosher linas likuna. Now, but the Gemara says, Kiha, the chiasu rabdimi om ziri om rebchanina, v'amrila, and some say that it was omer ziri om rebchanina, where the second version is just that it doesn't mention rabdimi over there, rather it's only ziri in the name rebchanina, which explains this halacha. That, as we're going to explain, because you need to have trei rubi, and the Gemara is going to explain the reason for that. What would be the reason to differentiate between two majorities or one majority? So he explains that Holchen Achar Roiv Ha'ir, we go after the majority of the city to say if their majority are kosher, then the woman's going to be kosher. But Ve'ein Holchen Achar Roiv Siyah, but we don't go after the majority of the people that are traveling. So for example, let's say this incident took place far from the city, where most definitely it was not someone from the city, let's say Tzipori, but rather it was one of those that were traveling. Then we will not say that the woman's kosher l'kahuna, even if the majority of the travelers are kosher, which the Gemara says right away, this doesn't make sense. Klapi lai. In other words, where exactly is this going? And that is what it basically means to say, is that it's actually the opposite of what we had just assumed. Hani, moreover, the ones that are traveling, they're naidi, they're moving, which means to say, that makes sense that you could go after the majority. Because Vahani, in contrast that with the people from the city, where Kivi Vikaimi, where they're established and they're stationary, whereas the Gemara will shortly explain, the halachic principle of what's called Kol Kavua, whatever stationary, even if you have a majority one way or the other, the halach is still going to be its Kemechza Mechzam. It's a 50-50 odds where you went to, because it's you going to them, it's not them coming to you. And therefore, even if only one of the inhabitants of the city are pasul, we would say that's like 50-50, and it would make the person, it would make the woman pasul. So why would it make sense what Reb Chanina is saying? That we would only go after the majority when it's the people of the city, which to the contrary, we should not go after the majority if they're kosher, to say the woman's kosher, because even if only one person is pasul, if they're, since they're stationary, you actually should say it's 50-50 and that she should be pasul like a classical Safik. In contrast to why Reb Chanina is saying that the majority of the travelers, that you would not go after the majority, where there actually makes more sense to say the majority, because they're not stationary, they're traveling, they're moving. Whenever something is parish, when it's not in where it's stationary, then it makes sense to go after the majority. So how does this make sense? Sela Rav, the Gemara explains that what his statement actually is not as it's literally read, and this will actually support for this halacha that we needed to understand what's called this trei rubi. Rather, what he was saying was, Holchen Acha Reveir. When will we, yes, those are the words he starts with, but it's you have to qualify that sentence. When do we go after the majority of the inhabitants of the city? That's only, not Ve'ein, because Ve'ein is going to be the next half, where, when is that? Behu Deikar Reiv Siya Bahada. That's only with, additionally to the majority of the inhabitants of the city, you also have the majority of the travelers together, which again, that's the halacha concept we spoke about of Trei Rubi. However, what Reb Chanina had ended off was the Ein Holchen Acher Reiv Ha'ir Gredasa, but you will not go after just the majority of the inhabitants of the city itself. Moreover, and this is what the words he had used, V'loy Acher Reiv Siya Gredasa, neither will we only go after the majority of the travelers themselves either. So essentially what Reb Chanina was saying was, we won't go after any individual majority, and so therefore, although it was seemed like actually the opposite of what we had assumed, the way we are interpreting his sentence is, we will go after the majority of the inhabitants of the city when That's if you have together with it the majority of the travelers. But the last sentence that he said, that we don't go after the majority of the travelers, is only when it's by itself. But if you have the majority of the inhabitants of the city together with that too, then it will work. So ultimately, basically, they're both saying one idea, which is that you have to have two rights. You have to have the majority of inhabitants of the city, and you have to have the majority of the travelers. Now, the question then becomes, my time, what's the reason why when you have the majority of the travelers, let's say you're far away where it wasn't from the city, and you didn't have the majority of the city with it. You only had the majority of the travelers. Why wouldn't that right? We always know majority always defines halacha. Why wouldn't that work to say that she'ksher lekuna? Especially as shortly we'll explain, where if it's not stationary, then you for sure should go after the right. So the Gemara says you're right. According to the criterion of halacha, you should go after the Rav. But it's a gzeira Rav Siyah, we make a decree that if we allowed you to go after the majority when it's regarding travelers, Atareva here, you might come to then go based on the majority of the city too, where that's stationary. And therefore, since you might confuse them, we didn't allow you to go after the majority even when it's by the travelers. But the Gemara asks, but Vareva here Nami, but even the majority of the city too. And that is because Idaka Azli in who? If someone from the city, if let's say the bayil, the violator, he left his house and he went ligabah tahar, so he was moving. He's not stationary. It's not like every man is in their house and the woman goes to the man's house. The man left his house. He went out. Now, their halacha tells us that called the parish, anything that leaves, meruba parish, we say it goes after the majority that it left from where it's coming from. Those are the halachas of raiv. And if that's the case, so why are you saying we don't go after the raiv by the siyah, by the caravans? Because you might come to go after the raiv by the city. What's the problem? Even by the city, it's not going to be kavua when he leaves himself. So we know if it's someone from the city, there also you should go after the raiv. So the Gemara says, Leit tzricham, and there is a girsa in Rashi over here that adds the word ikka, meaning that this itself is a gzera. That the ka'azli ihu ligabayu, that yes, because you're right, Rav C is not a problem, and even Rav Ir is not a problem. But Rav Ir could be a problem if she went to them, which Tosfos explains, meaning obviously means she goes into their house, because if she went even into the city, that's still not kavua, as we're going to see by the case of the 9 stores, where if a piece of meat comes out from the store onto the street, that's considered parish. So when it means she went to the city, it doesn't mean she just went to the city, because obviously then the violator had come out of his house, that's already parish. It means that she went into someone's house, and there she got violated. The havale kavur, which that would be considered stationary. Now, meaning she went to, she doesn't know who the man was he a kasher, was he possible, but she went to the house. Now, that means to say that whoever the inhabitants of the city, they're all stationary in where they are. Now, Amar Abzer, Abzer said, kol kavua, whatever stationary, the halacha is kemechza mechza dami. We give it a halacha of 50-50. And therefore, even if the majority of the inhabitants are kosher, or even if we're talking about the majority of the city, or the majority of caravans, it's going to be possible, according to Yeshua, as we explained, because especially according to the Girsa and Rashi, where although that there's no problem of Rav Siya, but we have Rav Siya Gzira to Rav Ir. Now Rav Ir is not a problem because if they went to her, they're also parish, but because if she might go to them, which that will be 50-50, now because of that we made a Gzira even when they go to her, and because of the Rav Ir being problematic, made a Gzira even by Rav Siya to Rav Ir, which is Rav Har coming to them. Now, however, but when there's two rube, when the majority of inhabitants of the city are kashrim, and the majority, and you also have together in this one equation that it was both elements there, that it could have been from either one, and either one was raiv, then there's no gezerah that we're going to make, because that's not something that is going to be so similar to that case, because here you have not only the inhabitants of the city kasher, you also have inhabitants of the siyah that are kasher, and they went tahar, so because of that, we didn't make a gezerah in such a case. But at least that's the Gemara's understanding of what was Rabbi Yechman Nuri from our Mishnah, which we had asked, what does he need Rav Kshayim for? Either opinion he's going like, either he shouldn't need Rav Kshayim, or even if he has Rav Kshayim, it shouldn't work. And now he said, no, he's going to be Shua. And although Rav Shua holds Rav Kshayim doesn't work, here it's talking about that there's two Rube, because one Rav is not going to work because of our concern of that'll be like Kol Kavua. But two Rube, that we don't have that concern. Now, the Gemara continues this discussion. Umibi inetrei Rubi, is it really true that we're explaining now according to Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, which is going along the lines of Rabbi Yeshua, but is there such a concept in Halacha that you're going to need two Rubi? In other words, or else that we'll say that with one Rub it's not going to be good enough. Let's say like the Gemara is saying, because you might confuse it with a case of Kol Kavua, but is that really true? But by the time we learn the Braisa that speaks about such a case. Teshach HaNuyis, if you have nine stores, Kulam Meichris Basa Shchuta, all are selling kosher slaughtered meat. V'achas Meichris Basa Nevela, one selling non-kosher, meaning dead animal carcasses that weren't slaughtered properly. So there's 10 stores, 9 kosher, 1 not kosher. V'lokach Ma'achas Men, and the person purchases meat from one of the stores, meaning it's in the Mokum Kavias, meaning it's stationary, you go to the store. V'en Yedem Eizem and Lokach, you don't know which store you went to. Sveke Yasser. So then, that doubt is going to be us, as we explained, because that's considered kol kavua, whatever stationary you went to a town, and you thought all the stores were kosher. Turns out one is not. You don't remember which one you went to. So since you went to the store, it was stationary. That's the halach of kemerz lemerzim. It's like 50-50 for treif is going to be savik derais. It's luchumer. It's something that's forbidden to go ahead and partake from. Now, however, ubenimtza. Let's say you find a piece of meat in the marketplace. Now you don't know which store it came from. Then halach acharei. Then you go after the majority, because since it came to us, it wasn't that you went and purchased it from a stationary place. So since it left, that's what's considered called the parsh, whatever left. So then we go after the majority, which is merubi parsh. Now, but one thing we see is that you don't need trei rubi. Although there you could say the same concern the Gemara was saying over here, which is wait a second. If we allowed you to go after the majority, then you might come to do the same thing, not when it came to you, but you went to it. When you went to it, it's kol kavu kemechza mechza dami. So why don't we make the same gezerah that you should need trei rubi? And we don't. We see that only one rib is enough when it's parsh. So the Gemara says, now, v'chitim, if you're going to say to answer the question that case is talking about in that braisa, b'she'in dalsas medina ne'ula, is when the gates of the city of that country are not closed. Now, the ka'asi la rubi ma'amana, what that would mean is that, yes, it's actually talking about that there is trei rubi over there, and that's why you're able to go ahead and eat that piece of meat that you found, because either, like Rashi says, that the majority of the traveling sheikhdom of slaughterers are Yisrael and Kesherim, so therefore we could assume that there's another rave of kosher slaughtered meat, or that the majority of slaughterers in that whole country are Jews. So you have two raves, one of the majority of the city and one of the majority of the country. And therefore, you would say, oh, that case, the Bryce Toma Trey Ruby, because the majority of these stores, which is the city, then you have majority of the country, which are kosher butchers. But on that, the Gemara says, you can't say that. Omer Abzir says, Ava Pesha Dalsis Medina Ulois, that the halacha of the Bryce applies, even if the gates of the city are closed, the gates of the country, you can't go ahead and have inter-city commerce. So then the question is back again. You see that although there's only one raif, because you can't have another raif from somewhere else, and yet still the Braisa says clearly that it's going to be able to be eaten. But that contradicts what we're saying in our Gemara, that you should require trei rubi. So the Gemara answers, Maila also be yuchsin. Somewhat like the Gemara said in the previous daf, which was going also in the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, that you're right. According to the strict halacha, kavua, kemerza, merza dami, that will be problematic. One rave is okay. We don't say that we make a concern of rave atu kavua. That, let's say, where he's going to the woman, so it's parish, will go after rave kshem. Even according to Rabbi Yeshua. And if she goes to them, fine, that's a problem of kavua kavua. So why over here do we say that you need to have trei rubi? The reason is because they made a certain elevated halachic status regarding areas of yichus regarding marrying into kahuna. And that's why we're concerned that if we allow a case of Raiv, when he went to her, then we might allow it when she went to him, which that would be problematic. So although generally halach we do not, but regarding areas of yichus fakuna, which is something very special, there we required actually two majorities to allow her to marry into kahuna. Now the Gemara returns to this discussion that we had introduced based on our line of questioning regarding why was a nesef a trei rubi. So now the Gemara explains that halach gufo, we had learned, Omer b'zera, say kol kavo, whatever stationary, it's like 50-50, bein lekula, bein lechumer, whether it's a leniency that it's going to come out, or whether it's going to come out as a stringency. And that is because although there's a majority one way or the other, it doesn't make a difference. Since it's stationary, you're going to it, that is could be either yes or it would be binary. It would be either yes or no. It's not based on the majority of where it came from. And therefore, whether leniently or stringently, it's going to be a 50-50 chance. Now that the Gemara asks, where does Reb Zera, who is Namayru, know this halacha of kol kavu kamevtza mevtzadami? So the Gemara says, if it's from the case that we just spoke about when there's nine stores, kula meiches basa shchuta, all are selling kosher meat, v'achas basa nevela, one selling non-kosher meat, v'lokach me'achas mehen, and a person went to the store, purchased one of them, v'enidim ezmen lokach, and he doesn't know which one he purchased from, so the price we quoted said, sveikai aser, that the doubt is going to be forbidden. V'nimtza, when it's found, halach acharayv, then you go after the majority, as we said, because it's called the parash merubah parash. So, but what you see is that when you're going to this store, although 90% are kosher, but since there's 10% that's non-kosher, and although majority would tell you it's kosher, but since it's kavua, it's kemechsa mechsa, 50-50, then that's problematic. But that the Gemara says, hasam l'churma, that you only see as a stringency. But who said we say the halacha even as a leniency? So El Rav, the Gemara brings a proof from a tesefta in Masechtas Tyrus. The Braisa says, Mitisha Tzvardim, we'll bring a raya from the case of when there's nine frogs which are dead and they're in a Rishus HaYachad. Now what's unique about Rishus HaYachad versus Rishus HaRabim and Halachas of Tumah is that when you have a Safik Tumah, doubtful Tumah in Rishus HaYachad, then the Safik is going to be Tameh, whereas when the Safik Tumah in Rishus HaRabim, then it's going to be Tar. So the case of Tumah that you have nine dead frogs in the private domain, the Sheretz Echad, and you have one Sheretz, which, for example, like a toad, which is similar to frogs, which a sheretz, when it's dead, conveys tuma, and frogs, when they are dead, do not convey tuma. They're not one of the shrotzim that are matami. So you have one toad, beinehem, amongst the frogs. So you have 10 similar-looking creatures. One is tame, and nine are not. Now, someone touched one of them. The any day be'ezman nagi doesn't know which one he touched. Now, this is a case of kavul, where they're stationary and you're touching. And of that, the Braisa says, Sveikoi Tamei, as we said, that since there's a doubt in Rishus HaYachid is going to be considered Tamei. Now, why is it a doubt? It's not a doubt. Majority are Tar. Oh, yes, we're not going after the majority because obviously because Kol Kavua, since it's stationary, then we say it's like 50-50, so it's 50-50. That's obviously considered a doubt. And if it's going to be Tamei. But that the Gemara still says, but Hasan Namel Chumra, all we see from there is that we'll say Kavua as a stringency. Where do we know the source that will say kavua even as a leniency? So El Rav, the Gemara says, which is also over there in that Tosefta Masechtas Tyrus, from the reverse type of a case. Mitisha Shratz, you had nine toads, utzfardei echad b'nem, and you had one frog, which is not a problem, amongst those nine. V'nogi b'echad mehen, now he touched one of them, v'eini yidei b'ez, v'nogi doesn't know which one he touched. So b'rishus ha'yachad, as we said before, in a private domain, where the suffix is going to be tameh, so sveiki tameh. The doubt, and the reason why it's a doubt is because it's always going to be a doubt, it's kavua, so it's going to be tameh. But b'rishus ha'rabim, in the public domain, sveikoi tahar. The doubt is going to be tar. Now, as we said before, yes, when there's a suffix tumah in b'rishus ha'rabim, you'll go and say that it's tar. But one thing we see is obviously, although that there's nine that are tame, nine toads, and one that's tar, which is the frog, we consider it as kemechtza, and therefore we see that it's as a leniency, saying it's kemechtza, because now that it's like 50-50, it's a suffix, and we'll go latar and rishus ha'rabim, because if you didn't say this concept of kol kavu kemechtza mevtzadami, then there wouldn't be what's called suffix tuma. It would be rather vadei tuma, because the majority are shrotzim, which would tell us that, as majority always does, it tells us that it's definitely that element, which would tell us it's definitely a sheretz, and therefore even a rishus ha'rabim would be tame. From the fact that we're calling it a suffix and therefore tar, obviously we see a kol kavu kemechtza mevtzadami works not only l'chumra, but even l'kul. So Gemara says, fine. That's a source for Reb Zera in the Tanoic literature. The question is, Umidai Raisa Menolan. Where do we know this halacha from the Torah? So the Gemara says, Amar Kras, the pasuk in Devarim that talks about when it begins in Yotes Yud Aleph, it says, V'chiyah ish soinil rei, if somebody hated his friend, now V'arav loy, and he ambushes him, V'kamalav, and he gets up on him, and it says Viko Nefesh Vameis, and that he hits him and he dies, and Menasal Achad Armor El, and he goes and runs away to one of these Ari Miklat. So what the interpretation is when it says V'ar V'loy, that he ambushes him, what does it mean that he ambushes him? So it means Achay Yiskavan Loy. It means until that he intended to ambush this person. Now what that excludes is if someone intended actually to kill one person and he ended up killing someone else. That's how Rabbi Shimon expounds this pasuk in Masechet Sanhedrin, that although the pasuk they're talking about, that the person is going to have the death penalty because he intended to kill someone, although he's running off to the city of refuge, it's not going to help him. But since it says V'arav Loi, that he ambushed him, is only that if he ambushed him and killed him, but if he meant one and he killed someone else, Shimon holds that he's going to be exempt. Now, but Rabbanan, who actually argue in the halacha, question is, how do they interpret the pasuk of V'arav Loi? So Amar de Rabbi Yanai, it was said in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, what they hold that is excluding is prat lazarik evan legoy. It excludes someone that throws a stone into a group of people. Now, the group of people is composed of non-Jews and Jews. Now, because if they both would be Jews, if the whole group would be Jews, and they intended to kill one person, and they warned him, and he accepted the warning, and it went and fell actually on a different person, he actually would be liable, because that's what he argues under Bishrim in the halacha. Now, one thing Rashi just points out, that the reason why the Gemara here in its discussion is quoting when it says, and Rabbanan, what do they do with that interpretation, which is not the primary point of what the Gemara is talking about, is because in the Gemara Sanhedrin, that's how the discussion goes about. But be that as it may, the Bei Rabbi Yana explains that the Rabbanan, the way they interpret the pasuk of Arav Loi, means to say that it's only if you intended to kill him, meaning a Jew. But if, let's say, there were Jews and non-Jews in the group, and you threw in a stone and they killed a Jew, then that would not be considered in the category of what the pasuk there is talking about regarding a murderer. Now, on that, the question is, Heichadami, exactly what is that case of Bei Rabbi Yana, where we're saying that the one who threw the stone into the group of people, which were comprised of Jews and non-Jews, would not be liable? If it's talking about that there are 9 non-Jews and 1 Jew amongst them, and that's what the Rabbanan is saying, then he'll be exempt. Why would I need a pasig? Just, of course he's exempt, because the laws of majority tell us that it's a non-Jew. And if it's a non-Jew, so then he's not liable for attempting to kill a non-Jew. Inami palga palga, and even if you're going to say that it was 50-50, let's say 5 Jews and 5 non-Jews, you still wouldn't need a pasuk, because why would we presume that we would kill the person? But safik nefash lahalka, the halacha is, when there's a doubt regarding din and nefashas, about if we're going to execute somebody or not, we go according to the lenient understanding. As the Gemara darshans elsewhere from the pasuk of Betzila Hu'eda, that you have to save the congregation, and therefore, since it's doubt, because we don't know if it's a Jew and non-Jew, because it's half and half, 5 Jews, 5 non-Jews, so either way, we would have given a lenient interpretation regarding a doubt. So why would I need a pasuk to say that a person is going to be exempt in such a case? So obviously, lo yitzricha, that when did we need the exemption of that the Jew who throws a stone? Again, if they're all Jews, Rabban hold, you're going to be chayiv. But when there's not necessarily a Jew, when there's non-Jews there also, that we're going to say, even if it ends up killing a Jew, you're going to be exempt. Obviously, what was that case necessary for? Deikar tishra Yisrael. Must be, that's talking about 9 Jews. The Kanani echad menem, and 1 non-Jew amongst them. The havalei Kanani kavu. And the reason would be is because the non-Jew was stationary. And obviously, what the pasuk is teaching us is this halacha that we're discussing, that b'chol kavua kemechza mechzadami, that whatever stationary already becomes 50-50. So again, to tell us when there's 9 non-Jews or even 5 non-Jews, obviously we wouldn't execute a person because we go after the majority. Or v'yitzilu eid, even when there's doubt, you wouldn't execute somebody. Must be when there's 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew, that even though the majority tells us that you were attempting to kill a Jew and then you should be liable, but no. Since they're stationary, in halacha we view it as 50-50. And therefore, since we view it as 50-50, so then you're going to be exempt, as we said, from Betzilo Eda. That's what the pasuk is teaching you, that it has to be Ba'arav Loi. And however, but if it wasn't Loi, because there was a group of people that had a non-Jew, even if it was only 1 non-Jew, you're going to be exempt. That teaches us the halacha, that's why you're going to be exempt from what the pasuk's punishment is because of the principle of Kol Kavur, Kamechza, Mechzadami, making it not like a majority, but rather as a suffix, as a 50-50. Now the Gemara continues on the theme of our Mishnah. Itmar, we learned, Rav Chiya bar Ashi Omer Rav, Halacha Krebi Yesi, Halacha Fazer Krebi Yesi, which again is recorded in the previous daf, the Mishnah, that the incident was where a woman was violated by this spring, and as Rabbi Yechim Anuri interpreted, that if the majority of the people of the city are going to be kosher, then the woman is going to be kosher, Linasa Likuhuna. Now however, Rav Chanan bar Rav Omer Rav, he says in the name of Rav, that this Halacha of Rabbi Yechim Anuri of our Mishnah was actually only Hayras Shahisa. It was only a temporary halachic psak. either because they saw that there were some other variables there that was indicating that she'll be permitted to marry Tekuna, or for some other reason. However, but for generations, the halacha actually is not enough that there's just Raif Kesherim of the city. You actually would need to have Trey Ruby. You need to have actually two majorities for this woman to be able to marry into Kuhuna. Now, most of Rabbi Yirmiyahu asked, according to Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi's his interpretation from Rav, which the Gemara originally assumes that when Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi says the name of Rav, the halacha is like Rabbi Yisrael of our Mishnah, that as the literal translation of our Mishnah sounds like, where there was only one majority of the inhabitants of the city. And of that, Rav said, the halacha is like Rabbi Yisi. To which the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yirmiyahu asks, Ula yuchsun lebi'ina trei rubi? Is it really true, the way he's quoting the name of Rav, that in regards to marrying into Kahuna, that you don't need two majorities? Is enough if you just have the majority of the inhabitants of the city being kosher? But what's not, within the Mishnah Maseches Machshirin, as we continue on to Amud Beis, that says, talking about a case of a city that had Jews and non-Jews living in the city. And the case is that Matzah bo tinik mushlach, he found a child just strewn, in other words, just laying there in the street, someone abandoned the child. So halacha is as follows. If the majority of the inhabitants of the city are non-Jews, then this child has the status of a non-Jew. In Rav Yisrael, if the majority of the inhabitants are the Jews, then Yisrael, then the status of the child is that one of a Jew. Mechza, and if it's the inhabitants of the city are 50-50, then Yisrael, then the child's status is that one of a Jew, which the Gemara will later explain. What is the difference between when the majority of the inhabitants are Jews and when they're 50-50, that either one we're saying that they're Jewish? Why do we say it as separate cases? Don't say the majority of the inhabitants are Jewish to say that it's Jewish, because even if 50-50, it'll be Jewish. But the Gemara will address that. So that's the Mishnah Machshirin. Now, Va'amar Rav, Rav qualified and said, Loi Shanu. We didn't learn in the Mishnah in Machshirin that if the majority of the inhabitants are Jewish, then the child has the status of a Jew. That was Elul Hach Yosei. That was only that it's Bezdin, that the courts are responsible to support and provide sustenance and nourishment for this child, for this infant, because of the pasuk in Vayikra Chafei that says, B'chayach Yichayimach, that you have to support a Jewish child. For that, we consider this child as Jewish. Avlo Yuchsin Loi. But for the halachas of Yichus, that, for example, let's say this infant is a girl, then actually this girl, although the majority of the inhabitants are Jewish, will say that she'll be forbidden to marry into Kahuna. Now, Rashi points out that even if, let's say, there's no concern of what's called asufi, which is certain type of neglect that you find to the child to say that she's apostle, but either way, here, the concern is going to be that maybe she's a daughter of a non-Jew. So although the majority of the inhabitants are Jewish, Rav says that for Yuchsin, the majority is not going to be enough. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says that this, that the Mishnah in Machshirin is saying, that if the majority of the inhabitants are Jewish, then will qualify the child as Jewish, that's lefakech olav es hagal. That's to be able to remove, let's say, a pile of rubble that fell on this infant on Shabbos, which you're going to be doing Isurim. For that, we'll consider the child as Jewish to be able to go ahead and rescue that child in Shabbos. Now, but one thing that the Gemara is asking from this Mishnah Machshirin is that you see, according to Rav, that one Rav of Yisrael is for Yuchsin Loi, will not be enough for her to marry into Kahuna. So obviously, that Rav requires Trey Ruby regarding Yuchsin. So how could Rav Chiya Bar Ashi say in the name of Rav that Allah is like our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says only one Rav, and Rav obviously is holding that for one Rav, if that's going to be a Rav of Kshem, is that going to be enough to marry into Kahuna? You need to have Trey Ruby. So I think my answer is that Ishtamitze, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, who asked this question on Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, obviously he was missing what we had said on Amud Aleph, Hadra Amar Bihuda Amar Rav, that actually the case of our Mishnah of Yisi actually is also talking about a case of Trey Rubi, that is told by Bekrein Yishol Tzipori Hava Maisa. The incident of our Mishnah actually was two Ravs. It wasn't just the majority of the inhabitants of the city that were Ksherim. It was talking about the Yoyim of the Shuk, it was talking about the day of the market when caravans are coming, and the majority of them are also Kosher. We have Trey Rubi. That's why he was saying in the name of Rav, the Aloch is like our Mishnah. But you're right, you need to have Trey Rubi. On that, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, then Ula Rav Chana bar Rava, then according to the second Messiah we had in the name of Rav, the Amma that he said in the name of Rav, the Harosh Shah, so that actually Halacha is not like our Mishnah. It was only a temporary Psak. Now, the problem is, if you just explain that our Mishnah is talking about that there was Trey Ruby, and still Rav Chana bar Rava saying in the name of Rav that Halacha is not like our Mishnah, it was Harosh Shah, What does that sound like? But that for generations, you do not need Trey Ruby, that you would only need one Rav. Well, then Kasha Ha. Then he's contradicted by Rav in the Mishnah Masechet Mashtirin, because Rav said that for Yuchsin, no, meaning that for Yuchsin, one Rav is not enough, that you do need Trey Ruby. So you need Trey Ruby, that contradicts Rav Chanan bar Rava. So Netanya Gemara says that no. Mam demasni ha, le masni ha. In other words, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav's interpretation of our Mishnah that said it's talking about a case of a krena shel tzipuri hava maisa, that actually Rav Chanan bar Rava does not agree to that interpretation. Rather, it's as our Mishnah literally is, that there was only one majority, that of the city, and that's why he said it was Hayru Hashah, which comes out that actually both are saying the same thing. They're both saying that according to Rav, you need to have Trey Ruby, as we find Rav saying that in his interpretation of the Mishnah Masechet Machshirin, that one Rav is not enough for Yuchsin. It's just that these two different versions depend on how we have the interpretation of our Mishnah. If you interpret our Mishnah based on Rav Yehuda Rav, that it was talking about Trey Ruby, that's when we'll say that Rav says Allah is like our Mishnah. But if you hold that our Mishnah is not going with that interpretation, then you'll say like Rav Chanan bar Rava, that since there was only one majority, that obviously was only Hayru Hashah, because actually for future generations, you need to have Trey Ruby. Now, once we introduced this previous discussion of Rav and Shmuel in interpreting that Mishnah Masechet Machshirin to ask regarding the requirement of Trey Ruby, so the Gemara now discusses that. Gufo, we learned, Matzah bat Tinik Mashloch, the Mishnah Masechet Machshirin said, that if you find a child just laying there in a city, so it depends. If the majority of the inhabitants are non-Jews, so the child status is that of a non-Jew. Imrav Yisrael, Yisrael. Mechza, Mechza, 50-50, then also Yisrael. Now, and that is recorded before Amar Rav. It says, Loi Shonu, we didn't learn that if Rav Yisrael, that then the child status is Yisrael, that's only El Lach Yisrael, that's only to sustain this child that we'll consider as a Jewish child. The majority are Jews. We'll say he's Jewish. So we have to provide for his sustenance. But regarding Yichus, regarding saying that it's for sure a Jewish child to be able to marry into Kohuna, that we didn't say. Shmuel said that this that we consider the child Jewish is lefakech alav esagal, is that if let's say this child is growing up and we don't know this child's status, we just know that he was found and the majority of inhabitants are Jewish, and then one day on Shabbos a building collapses and this child is in that building. Now we don't know if he's Jewish, we could save him. If he's not Jewish, we cannot save him because it's Shabbos. We don't have that mitzvah of saving him of pikuach nefesh to be mechal Shabbos. So on that, Shmuel says, fine, if this child that was found was in the city, a majority of Jews, we'll consider him a Jewish to save him and undo the pile of rubble on Shabbos. Now that the Gemara asks, Umiyam Shmuel Hachi, did Shmuel really say this, that regarding pikuach nefesh, you need to have a majority to say that he's going to be Jewish? But Vamar Yisrael Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he says, Ein holchin bebekuach nefesh acharoiv, we do not go after necessarily the laws of majority regarding saving a Jewish life on Shabbos. And that is, even if there's a doubt, we don't know, who is this person? Is he Jewish or non-Jewish? And even if the majority of the people are non-Jewish, the halacha is, according to Shmuel, that we are mefakhin, we do go ahead and save the person. So how can you say that Shmuel is interpreting the Mishnah Machshirin that it's only when he's from the majority of the Jewish people that then we would save him on Shabbos? Even if not, even the majority are non-Jewish, if we have a doubt that it's Jewish, we would save him. So El Rav, the Gemara says that no, not like we had assumed till now what Shmuel was saying. Rather, Kiyat Medi Shmuel, when Shmuel was saying his qualification, actually, our Reisha Itma wasn't going on Imrev Yisrael Yisrael. Rather, it was going on Imrev Evde Kechavim Evde Kechavim. The Mishnah said if the majority of the inhabitants are non-Jewish, then we'll qualify this child as non-Jewish. And that, Amar Shmuel said, however, Ulafakech Alav Esagal, but regarding Pekuch Nefashis, to undo the pile of rubble on this child in Shabbos, and for that, Einoi Kein. For that, we would not consider this child as a non-Jew. And therefore, even if the majority of the inhabitants are non-Jewish, we would not go after the majority, and we would save the child, because as we said, for saving, even if there's a slight chance that he's Jewish, we will go ahead and be Mechal Shabbos. Therefore, the Gemara continues and says, if that's the case, since Shmuel said that we will save this child, even on Shabbos, to be Mechal Shabbos, even though the majority of inhabitants are non-Jewish, so obviously he's not totally non-Jewish for all practical purposes, and then the question then becomes, so then for what halacha did we consider this child as a non-Jew if the majority of inhabitants are non-Jewish? So Amar Papa, that's lahachila nevelis, that's to be able to have him, to actually feed him non-kosher, actively feeding him. because we don't consider him as a Jew. Yes, to save his life we do, but for all other things you can actually give him non-kosher food. And most definitely, as Rashi points out, that we would not return his lost objects. And regarding the laws of damages, as we're going to see these differentials in the other cases, for sure, for that, we don't consider him as a Jew. Now, the Gemara continues, Im Rebbe Yisrael, Yisrael amai halacha. So for what halacha did we consider if the majority are Jewish, then Jewish, according to Shmuel, for what halacha was that for? It's obviously not to save Machab, because that's even by Rav Akum that will save him. And that Amar Papa, that's lahachzer le'aveda. That's to return his lost object, which Rashi says, there's actually two chidushim in that, two novelties in that halacha. A, first of all, will actually be removing it from the Jewish person that found it, which is a chidush, because it's the Yisrael's, now chazak, it's his thing that he found. Now we want to remove it and say that he's Jewish, that you have to give back his lost object, which would not be the case in the non-Jew. That's a chidush, because since the majority of the inhabitants are Jewish, we will consider this person as Jewish, and you have to give him back his lost object. But moreover, the second novelty is because actually the Rabban say Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Vav Mabez that if someone returns a lost object to a Kanani, the Pasuk actually says that you're equating the non-Jew with the same chashibas of a Jew, and it says Lo Yev Hashem Sloich, Hashem won't want to forgive such a person. He actually should not be doing that. Now that the chiddush is that, but if it's from Rabbi Yisrael, we don't entertain that he's a non-Jew, and that that you could take away from the Jew. And moreover, there's no problem about giving this person back his lost object. Now, but then the last case, that's a question, is Mechza Mechzi Yisrael Amayachasa. For what halacha did we say that if they're 50-50, Jews and non-Jews, that then we'll consider him a Jew? Now, obviously, it cannot be referring to returning his lost object, because if that would be the case, then why would we have said them as separate cases? We shouldn't have said Roiv Yisrael and Mechza Mechzi Yisrael. It should have just said Mechza Mechzi Yisrael, and then it would have included Roiv Yisrael by the halacha of Yisrael. Obviously, there is a difference in halacha between them, and only be machzer aveda by Rav Yisrael. But by mechza mechze, although we're considering Yisrael, would be for something lower. Moreover, is that yes, when there's a rav, so then we could actually base it on that. But when it's safik, when it's mechza, how would we necessarily be able to violate a possible issa of returning an aveda to Kanani? So then, Rashi says actually the case of 50-50 is that yes, because of the doubt, we'll consider this person as a Jew. What does that mean? It's l'nizakin. It's for the halacha of damages. Where the Mishnah Masechtas Baba Kama of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis explains that there's a difference in halacha. For example, let's say the ox of a Jew gores an ox of a non-Jew. So the Jew is actually exempt from paying the punitive damages. Now, if the ox of a non-Jew gores an ox of a Jew, whether it's what's called a tam, which is the first time an ox is goring the first few times, or whether it's a mu'ud, which it has already gored a few times, the non-Jew's ox has to pay the Jewish person's the ox that it gored, what's called nezek shalom, the entire amount of the damages. Now, however, when a Jewish person's ox gores another Jewish person's ox, then it depends. If it's a tam, the first few times, it pays only half the damages. If it's a mu'ud that already had gored a few times, then pays the full amount of the damages. So that is what Rish Lakish is saying. That regarding the halachas of damages, we consider this person that's from a city of 50-50 as a Jew. So the Gemara asks, hey, chedami, what's the case talking about? If our ox gored his ox, and that what the halacha that the Mishnah is telling us is that we judge him like a Jew, and that we would have to pay him what's called chatzi nezek, because our shor is a tam, and he's also considered a Jew. But the question is, let the Jew tell this person that's in doubt, because he was found as a baby in this city, that's from 50-50, or Jews and non-Jews, I see right, Yisrael at Feshkol, you should have to bring proof that you're a Jew, and then you could take. Because, as we said, if it's mechza mechza, that's a safek. And if he's a safek, so you can't remove money from someone that you're claiming that he owes you if you're not for sure Jewish. So if it's doubtful, if it's raiv, so then we could say, like the case of returning the aveda, so we go after the halacha as a majority. But here, where it's doubtful, how could you remove money based on a doubt? So the Gemara says, leitzricha the case toma denache tur didei letur didan, that his ox gored our ox. And the Jewish person is claiming from this person, pay me what's called nezek shalom, pay me the full amount for your shor tam, because as a non-Jew. And that the Tanna is teaching us in Maseches Machshirin that palgam shalom only pays him half the damages, which is called chatzi nezek. And the reason is, v'idach pal ga'amlo, because regarding the other half, he could tell him, I see raya delav yisrael anna ve'eta in lechen. You bring proof that I'm not a Jew, and then I'll give you. Because obviously the difference is regarding who is being meitzi from who. Who's meitzi mechaveroi? Is the law of haraya? Because here we have an element of doubt. It's 50-50. Again, if it's majority, when you say Rav Yisrael, that's a whole different category. where you could even be mitzvah from someone else. You could make him return the lost object. But here, 50-50, where it's a case of a doubt, so yes, for him to require a Jew to pay him, he can't, because he has to prove that he's Jewish, and he can't. But when he damaged someone else, and they want him to pay to them, so they want to be mighty moment from him, on that day says, look, it's a case of doubt. You prove to me that I'm not Jewish, I might be Jewish, and then I'll have to pay you. So Chatzi Nezik, for sure I have to pay you as a Jew. But if I was a non-Jew, I'd pay Nezik Shalom. Prove to me, and that the Mishnah Mechsech Mashrin is saying, that Mechza Mechza, for this halacha, will consider him as Yisrael. Hanulach Besulah Nisus, we shall return to the first Perek Mesech Ksubis, Perek Besulah Nisus, and with that we begin the second Perek Mesech Ksubis, Perek Isha Shenis Armala. Now this Perek and this Mishnah continues on the theme of this Mesechta, that of the halachas of Ksuba. So the Mishnah says, Ha'isha Shenis Armala Oishenis Garsha, a woman that was widowed or divorced, and she's claiming her Ksuba, which is what she claims the dowry when the marriage is terminated. Now, here Maris Besulah Nisusani. She claims, when we got married, I was a basula, therefore I deserve a ksuba of masayim, of 200 zuz. V'hoimer, and the husband says, which Rashi explains, obviously he's talking about the case when he's divorcing her, or in the case of when she's being widowed, it's the yerushim, the inheritors, that are telling her, and they say, loy, no, kela almana nesasicha. I married you, you are a widow, and you only get half of what you're claiming, which is a man of 100 zuz. Now obviously Rashi explains that the case Toguma, that the ksuba was lost. If it was he had the ksuba, you'd see in the ksuba how much was promised. But the ksuba is lost, and now it's only he says, she says. So now we have him claiming that she was almana, and she claims she was a besula. So on that, the Mishnah says, im yesh edim, if there are witnesses that were there by the wedding, that could testify, she yatzis, that she had left her father's house, going to her husband's house, which was the procedure, the procession that they used to do in Talmudic times, was during when they would bring in the kala for the chasna, that if she went out, behinuma, which I'm going to explain exactly what does hinuma mean, and veresha prua, or if she went out with her head uncovered, meaning that she had her hair on her shoulders, as Rashi explains, that was their minig, when a besula would go from her father's house to the chasna, that was, if they could testify that that's how her hair was, then ksubas masam, then she gets a ksuba of 200, because obviously she was a besula. He says that af chiluk kolayis, even the giving out of kolayis, which that's the barley kernel, when it's still moist, they would dry it out in the oven. That makes it toasted, and that would be always forever sweet. So that was a type of a type of a nash. So if they gave out these kolayis, that would also be a rye. That would also be a proof, because they used to give out to the children these roasted grain when a besula was getting married. So if they could recall the witnesses that they gave that out, then that would obviously be a proof that she was a besula, and therefore she would collect 200 for a ksuba. Now, Umayyad Bishua agrees, which the Gemara is going to explain exactly where is this coming in and what does it mean, who is he agreeing to. But Bishua agrees, when someone tells to his friend, Sadazu, you know this field? Actually, Shalavicha Haise. You don't know this, but it was actually your father's. But I had purchased it from him. With Halacha Shuhunem, that he's believed to say that it was his father's, but that he had purchased from him. And as the Gemara continues, the top of Tazayim and Alf, and the reason is because this is what's commonly known as Shehapesh Sha'asar, because the mouth that made it forbidden, in other words, he didn't know that it was his father's, only based on his own mouth. Now, what he made forbidden by saying it's his father's, which makes it not his, Hu Hapesh Shehitter, his same mouth is what permitted for him by saying, yes, it was your father's, and you didn't know that, which makes it not mine, but I purchased from him, which makes it mine, and therefore that's considered like in the category of what's called Migui, meaning to say that I am believed to say what I'm saying, because what I said, to say that it's usr, I could undo by saying that it's permitted, because I made the problem, and therefore I could resolve that. Now, but however, if there are witnesses that it was his father's, and he says, I purchased from him, then he's not believed to say that, because it's not the pesha usr, that's who shehitter. Because we have witnesses saying that it was his father's. And we have witnesses saying it's his father's, so that's b'chazaka of this person, Zyerish. And you want to say you purchased from it, then you have to bring proof to be able to take it out of someone else's chazaka. And just by saying that it was his father's and that you bought it, the person's not believed.